Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Over the years, we've talked a lot about otitis media and its etiologies and whether we need to treat it with antibiotics. Clinical diagnosis of acute otitis media involves the bulging of the tympanic membrane or signs of acute inflammation, typically marked erythema of the tympanic membrane, fever, ear pain, and a middle ear effusion. Lots of reasons that we may decide to prescribe antibiotics or opt for conservative treatment without antibiotics. Regardless, it seems that most of the signs and symptoms resolve certainly within 72 hours or so. Symptoms and signs resolve a little bit more slowly in children who are managed with pain medication as opposed to antibiotics. The question is, for those that we do decide to treat with antibiotics, how often do the kids experience adverse effects from the antibiotics, regardless of the ear pain? So you found a poem. It was published in the journal Pediatrics 2019. It starts on page 139, and that's exactly what the author set out to answer, which is, how often do children experience adverse effects from the antibiotics used to treat otitis media?
Yeah, and it's great to see more systematic reviews looking not only at treatment benefit, but also potential harms of treatment. So this was a meta-analysis of 82 studies that looked at the frequency of common adverse events, so diarrhea, rash, diaper rash, candida, dermatitis, that are associated with using common antibiotics for AOM, acute otitis media. They included both observational and experimental studies. Treatment had to last at least 7 days for all antibiotics other than azithromycin, where 5 days was enough. The authors used really narrow definitions, though, of adverse effects. So they only included studies that actually used the word diarrhea, and they excluded any that used terms like stool changes or loose stools or GI effects. And, you know, to me, loose stools and diarrhea, you know, might probably be the same thing. So the rates that they report may actually be underestimates of some of these adverse effects. So this is kind of the low end estimate, probably. Most of the studies were also felt to be at high risk of bias. There were between 40 and 800 patients in each study. Generally, diarrhea was the most common adverse effect. It ranged from 2.2% for azithromycin to almost 19% for amoxiclav. Placebo caused diarrhea in about 7% of children. That could be a reflection of maybe underlying viral infections causing it. In the three studies that used diaries, the rate of diarrhea was higher, with a rate ranging from 15 to 21%. So, there's some recall, a lack of recall. So if you ask parents 2 weeks later, did your kid have any diarrhea, the rates were lower than if they were kept keeping a symptom diary every day. Generalized rash varied from 1.5% for azithromycin to 6% for high-dose amoxicillin. Diaper rash occurred in 5% of kids overall given an antibiotic, up to 15% in those given amoxiclav. Candida diaper rash was only reported by two studies, for two antibiotics, and was 3% for amoxiclav and 6% for amoxicillin. So again, these very narrow definitions may lead to some underreporting and underestimates. But the bottom line is that the rates of diarrhea and rashes associated with treatment of children with acute otitis media varies quite a bit depending on the specific antibiotic and dosing. Diarrhea and generalized rash were highest with amoxiclav and high-dose amoxicillin and lowest with azithromycin.
It does seem as though it's something we need to take into account. It's something we need to talk to our parent about to keep an eye out for. You know, perhaps it's suggesting that the azithromycin, if you're worried about adverse effects, may be the drug of choice here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we always have to keep in mind that not all kids with a reddish eardrum need an antibiotic, that if they don't look toxic, otherwise healthy, a trial of a day or two of just some analgesics, keeping a close eye on them, following up, you know, they may not need an antibiotic. And I think Pediatricians and family physicians have gotten much better about that in terms of restricting antibiotic use or being cautious about it. And I think parents are getting the message as well. There are other studies showing long-term adverse effects of repeated antibiotic exposure in childhood, including obesity, irritable bowel syndrome, other associations. And so, you know, there are lots of good reasons to, you know, be thoughtful about using antibiotics, and this study adds to it.
Right. The other point perhaps we can make, too, is as we talk to parents about these more conservative approaches, it's often helpful to be able to point out that it's not a slam dunk. I mean, you know, if we give your child antibiotics, they may get better a little bit more quickly, or they may not. But on the other side of the coin, there's a really good chance that they may have some of these side effects and adverse effects, and those are no good either. So it just gives us another talking point to argue for conservative treatment.
Yeah, I mean, broadly speaking, the chance of, you know, in terms of the number needed to treat, you get one more cure at 2 weeks, but you also get about one more of these, you know, adverse effects at 2 weeks. So there's definitely a trade-off.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Looking forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. ¶¶